الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله by the grace of Allah سبحانه وتعالى this is a continuation and this is the second khutbah in the issue of the Muslim family. And very briefly about what I said in the previous khutbah, that the Muslim home, it is a temporary place where the Muslim family, every individual in it, will have the opportunity to develop the Muslim character. So, two things it's supposed now to exist in the Muslim home. Are we supposed to know about it? Number one, it is a temporary. By its own nature, it is a temporary. Because the Muslim all the time gearing toward the permanent resident, which is inshallah in Jannah. But in this one, it is a temporary. The second element, it is a place to develop the character. It is the factory where the Muslim character will be shaped. And I talked briefly about the Muslim character, and we found out that it consists of four major areas. They must exist, or otherwise, unfortunately, we don't have a Muslim character. Number one, we have to have what it called the Muslim conscience. And we have to have the taqwa, piety. And we have to have the Muslim ethics, al-akhlaq. And we have to have al-amr bil-ma'roof, al-nahy an al-munkar, promoting good and fighting evil. This is the job of the Muslim. Every single Muslim should have and acquire those four. Once we start to have that as a direction, it wouldn't make any difference. If you are going to a French home, English home, American home, Pakistani home, Indian home, it is still the same attribute and the character. And I talked briefly about what is the conscience. And we found out the conscience, it means three things. That the person have the ability to know what is right according to the Quran and Sunnah, and apply him, and stand by him. Not only apply him, but stand by him. And knows what is forbidden according to the Quran and Sunnah, and avoid him, and fight him. So, three things in these areas. You have to know, either to promote and work, or to stay away. Either you stand by or you resent and reject. And the third part of the conscience is what? Is zikrillah, the remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you develop a conscience, we say that person have a conscience. Trustworthy. Why? Because he is having a good relationship with Allah. He is in good zikr. He do the right thing and he stay away from the wrong thing. That is the Muslim conscience. The second thing, and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summed that beauty and that strength and that need to develop the Muslim character in one hadith, when one dua, and when he said, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna iktinaba. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summed those three elements in that dua. Number one, he was doing zikr, supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, what he was asking for, he was asking, forgive me the ability to know the haqq, the truth, and follow it. And give me the ability to know the batil, the wrongdoing, and avoid it. This, and I said the second element of the character is the taqwa, the piety. And what does the piety mean? Basically, piety is a compound feeling on the heart, inside. That feeling consists of what? I love enough to do, and respect and afraid enough to not to do. I love enough Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be self-motivated to please Him. And at the same second, I am respecting Allah and afraid of Him to the point that I cannot dare to disobey Him. And I say I did this good so I can do this bad and get away with it. No, that is a taqwa. And a taqwa means what? That you have the khashyatillah. The first element in it, khashyatillah. The fear and the respect and the humbleness and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel that you are watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. And the second, العمل بأحكام القرآن والسنة والثبات عليها. That means Allah did not set the Quran and the Sunnah to be textbook, to be on the shelf. But we have to learn it and apply it as much as we can. And this is what we, the second step to develop taqwa. And the third, accepting Allah's decree on your life. Never ever be under the impression, under any given circumstances. Whatever you are in, regardless what is that in, is by coincidence. No. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ لَدَيْهِ بِمَقْدَارٍ. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to your life, it means in this particular second that the combination that you have, this is the combination of the potential of His rahmah, His mercy. If you know how to use it, you will qualify. If He gave you this combination maybe before, you will not. You are not mature enough to accept it or to understand it. Or later it can be too late. كل يوم هو في شأن. And it means that He is constantly changing things on you to give you the best possible potential to qualify to His mercy. That can be a hardship or can be as well prosperity. And it is not important what you got. More important is what you do with what you got. Is that going to get you closer to Allah or going to make you further away from Allah? Going to make you more obedient or going to take you away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah al-azim, out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. So, but the bottom line, you accept it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You accept Allah's decree. And the fourth element of taqwa is what? Al-istidadu lil-rahil wa liqa'illah. You're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him, you're going to meet Him. You should be over-occupied, not occupied, over-occupied. But how is that meeting going to look like? You're going to be in His presence. What are you going to say? How you prepare for that? And there is a little bridge before that meeting called death. How are you going to die? Have you thought about it? What you prepared for your grave? If you are going to trip, you plan for it, tickets-wise, time-wise, transportation-wise, hotel-wise, cars rent-wise, whatever that is-wise, and taking vacation from your work and what have you. And the most important incidents, which is the moment of death, and relatively more longer residence, which is called the grave. It's pleasing of Allah that He gave us the opportunity to prepare our own graves. You can prepare your own grave. You want it tight or you want it large? It's up to you. You want it peace or you want it hot? It's up to you. You want it pain or tranquility? It's up to you. Prepare your own grave. And don't ever take life for granted. Don't say I am strong and maybe somebody else gonna die. That is not happening. That's not the life. And I'm going to tell you something, you know, of my own life. In a certain time of my life, I had a medical problem and they ended up saying, give him what he wants. That's it. Out of a blue sky, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, I had internal bleeding. No one can stop. No surgeon can stop. No surgeon dare to get closer. The bottom line, give him what he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a surgeon. And that surgeon, I heard him when I'm in the intensive care unit by my own ears. And he sat down and looked at everything. And they said, if we just give him anesthesia, that's the end of him. He cannot afford it. He cannot even have anesthesia in the beginning to prepare him for the operation. He was the only one who said, I have nothing to lose. I'm going in. And by the grace of Allah, they kept injecting blood on my body all night and in the dawn. Anyway, what happened is this. The bottom line is this. I am alive today and he's dead. In less than a year, and he was a lot more stronger and young. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and definitely he got the knowledge and the dare. He had the dare to do it. But Allah sent him to save my life. And when his time was up, he was up. Never take it for granted. So all the time, when you look at me, you are looking to a dead man. Know what is the meaning of grave. And what is the meaning of to be a few minutes away from your end. That can be you. Don't forget that. And don't let ever anyone divert you from this moment. Because if I learned anything out of this experience, that you can have the best medical staff, you can have the best medical knowledge, you can have the best medical facility around you, but nothing gonna help but except one word, Ya Rab. Nothing gonna help but the word Ya Rab. Don't ever allow anyone to take this word out of you. Don't allow yourself even to forget it, to divert away from it. If your mind will not remember Ya Allah, let your heart remember Ya Allah. If your tongue will not gonna do it, let your blood do it. But be in a state of constant of supplication to Allah and saying Subhanallah. وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَيُقَدِّسْ لَهُ. Be it. Let your blood do the tasbih. Let your cell do the tasbih. Let your brain, let your stomach, let your heart, let your hand, let your legs do it. Let all your being, all your faculty doing it. Ya Allah, Ya Rab. None to take that away from you. The third element is makarim al-akhlaq. To get to this point and the value of it, when you are in your mother fetus, as a fetus in your mother womb, you were developed to live in another area with this, which is called this life. You've never been developed to live in your mother womb. You've been created to live in somewhere else. But you have a certain attributes, like eye you will never use in there, legs you will never use there, hands you will never lose there, lungs you will never lose there. Everything about you will not gonna live there. It is a factory to live. Look at yourself in this life also as is a bigger womb. And in it you have to develop something different. And that different, what it called, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, what he's saying, what is this faculty, out of what is the purpose of the religion, and what is the life, and what we doing, what supposed to be developed. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he said it what? إِنَّمَا بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to perfect to you what? The best ethics. The best ethics. And the akhlaq, it comes from the word khalq. Khalq, that means developed in, within. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the eye. In this life, it is not going to be new eye, but it's going to be the sabr, going to be the rahmah, going to be the ra'fa, going to be the patient, going to be the mercy with others, going to be the forgiveness. These are the akhlaq. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? Innaka wa innaka la ala khuluqin azeem. He did not say you are the best servant or you are the best supplicant or you are the best worshipper. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And when it comes to the matter, he said, Lord, وَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Why? What is the qualification? خُلُقٌ عَظِيمٌ. Because Sayyidina Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم have the best manner. He knows how to behave in ta'at Allah 24/7. That's the value of it. And that's the reason behind it. So makarim al-akhlaq, something that developed in you. And we need to separate here between two major things. We need to separate between what it called etiquette and what it called akhlaq. Etiquette, that means a certain behavior to accommodate others. I can go to a bookstore, get one of the books in less than a week. You know when to smile and when to open the door and when to open the door too, and when to speak and when to not to speak and all of that stuff. How to deal with ladies, how to deal with elders, and how to do that. But that does not mean you are a good human being. No one on the face of the planet Earth more knows about etiquette more than politician. And who is getting us down, regardless where the country is or the era is, they are the politician. Who making wars? Politicians. Who doing all the corruption? Politicians. Not all of them. But what they have in common, they all know how to smile. They know when and how to kiss babies. They know how to win you over. But that does not mean they have a good heart. But akhlaq, it means what? Something genuine will be generated inside you. Going to be another instinct that you cannot get away from automatically. And from here it comes the understanding to the word when Allah describing the believer in the Holy Quran, he did not say وَيَسْرَعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, but he said وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. And that's the difference in between. يُسَارِع فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, that means there is a beginning and end. And there is a faculty here. Should I do it? Yeah, I should do it. Let me do it. But يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, there is no period. Nothing in between here. يُسَارِع فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. The minute that he get the action, he's in a state of reaction. He's not, or she is not thinking about should I do it or I shouldn't. What I'm going to get out of it. So that's the second attribute. A third attribute of the Muslim character is what? Makarim al-akhlaq. And what is the fourth attribute, and which is unfortunately, it is the missing part, and it is the one reason for having the whole entire ummah going down every single day, which is al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa-nahy anil-munkar, promoting good and fighting evil. When it comes to that one, we don't know how to do it. But it is a part and it is obligation of the development of the Muslim character. When you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you committed yourself to promote good and fight evil wherever there is. Not to turn your back when you see evil, or you think it is somebody else's responsibility. And before I give explanation, and I give, there is no such a thing called for the evil. Evil is so weak. But evil only supersede when you allow him to supersede. And the Arabs have a say, it says, Ya Fir'aun min far'anak, al malaitch haddi limmini. Ya Fir'aun min far'anak, malaitch haddi limmini. That's just a slang. And what it means when somebody asks Pharaoh, where did you get that mighty to do what you do to the point of calling yourself a God? He said, no one stopped me. No one tried to stop me. Power all the time. Wrongdoer knows they are all what they have in common. They know how to invest your fear. and how to steal your own power and add it to them. So they look strong. But in reality, they are weak. Looking at the history of the whole mankind, you will never find a force invaded another country or another group or another tribe, and the number of the invader equal or supersede the number of the country that got invaded. But they are good enough to do what? To invest the fear. And last khutbah, I give example of that, India. And that is not discredit to the India or the Indian people, but I'm just giving example. And the time the British Empire invaded India and controlled India, they invaded India by 700,000, by 800,000 soldiers. And that time India had 770 million men living in it. Compare army less than 1 million controlling 770 million. How they did that? Know the art of investing people fear. And one of the fruits of Iman, that the person will never be afraid of anyone but other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a rule. If you are afraid of Allah, nothing in the universe can fear you. And if you are not afraid of Allah, every and anything in the universe will scare you. Anything will scare you. Anything gonna make you afraid. If you don't have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. But if you have the fear of Allah in your heart, your tongue know how to speak. Your hand know what to do. Your legs know what to do. Other than that, you are not. So we are missing what? Promoting good and fighting evil. And when the evil harm, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish, He punish what? Not because the majority they are good. No. But because they allowed the minority to be bad. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely punished a group of people in the Holy Quran, what did He say? وَكَانَ تِسْعَةُ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. In the whole entire city, 9 people, 9 corrupted people. Only 9. But what they did? Those 9, they mischief, they corrupted the whole entire life. And nobody tried to stop them. So when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, it did not take the 9, it took them all. It did take them all. So, we learn from that, promoting good and fighting evil is not something that religiously only to do, but it is also a means of surviving. Because if you have 10 people building a building, and only one person will come and undo what they are doing, they are putting 10 bricks, And that person will come and take one brick out. That means there is 9 in there to build the wall. And one person will take that only brick out. That wall will never ever be completed. One person can disarm and can undo whatever 10 people doing. But just a small thing, taking it out. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to set the ma'rab in Yemen, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it to them? Rats. Rats keep digging on the dam. Only rats. No clear power, no clear bomb, no jets, no rats. Just make a little hole, and the small holes the water came in it. Before you know it, the whole entire dam went out. So promoting good and fighting evil is a major attribute must be in every Muslim character. And that's what the parenthood is all about. If you look at it, you will find out the childhood of the mankind is the longest childhood that is known among all the species in the face of the planet Earth. Some of the species
after birth by less than an hour, they are running with the herd, like in cows and whatever. And some in very short period of time, they are already on, they can depend on themselves. You have a baby 1 year old or 2 years old, he cannot even feed himself. Why this long period of childhood? The longest childhood period known is among the human being. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted in it day in and day out to develop this Muslim character. Muslim character that it has a conscience, that it has a taqwa, that it has the makarim al-akhlaq, and it has and knows how to promote good and how to fight evil. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to purify our own homes and make our own homes a true Muslim homes, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna sayyidina muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, wa ashhadu annahu qad ballagha ar-risala wa adda al-amana wa nasaha al-umma wa jahada fi sabilillahi haqqa jihadih hatta ataahu Allahu al-yaqin. Now I want to move to another point, in that who is responsible for building the Muslim character? We know in general we have a homes, and this home got parents and got children. But who is responsible in general? Before we start, we have to distinguish between two things. Between who provides for the home and who take care of the home. Providing for home is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala job. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed this fact in two areas and make him opposite. So you cannot misunderstand them. In the first he said, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقَهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. In another, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقَكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. So الرَّازِق, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are not the provider. Get that out of whatever. You are not the provider. And as long as you are not the provider, don't be occupied or over-occupied by somebody else's job. Don't let that over-occupy you. Running after risk is take you away from your job. And what is your job? The second thing in this thing that we need to compare them between or to separate them between. The first one, who is the provider for the household? And the second, who is taking care? Ra'i. Who is the head of the household? Who is a Ra'i in the household? The one who will look after all the affairs of the household to make it the environment to grow what? The Muslim character. So here, there is a big difference in between the two. We have to believe that Allah is the Raziq. But who is the Ra'i? The Ra'i is the one that he was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look after the affairs of this home. That can be the father. Or if the father did, that can be the mother. In reality, or the way that Allah wanted, both, when they are alive, they are responsible. وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Both of them. Look at it this way. You are in a bus, and that bus, everyone in it, trying to help the other to qualify to Allah's mercy. No one in that bus going to worry about who is better than who? Who is going to obey who? Who is strong and who is weak? You are as good as the best one. And you are as bad as the worst one in your family. There is no such a thing called a good people and bad people. No, it is all one relationship. If it is good or if it is bad. So the Ra'i Bayt appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look after the affairs, to make sure that everything in that household is what? Will be done according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى سَائِلٌ كُلُّ رَاعِ عَمَّا اسْتَرْعَاهُ أَحَفِظَ ذَلِكَ أَمْ ضَيَّعُهُ حَتَّى يَسْأَلُ الرَّجُلُ عَنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask every responsible person about what he was responsible about. That's include the man will be asked about his household. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O who believed, protect yourself and protect your own family from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anger, and protect them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishment. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was honoring the prophets, he kept saying, he was good, he was good, he was good, till he comes to Sayyidina Ismail and he gives something very unique, something very special about Sayyidina Ismail. They were worshippers, instead of obedient, they were beautiful people, but something unique, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that unique appear and to be known about Sayyidina Ismail till the day of judgment. What is that? وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. That mean what? Sayyidina Ismail will never, ever, ever tolerate a wrongdoing in his household. He did not say he was standing up day and night worshipping, or he was fasting the day and worshipping the night. But he said as attribute to that man what? وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ. He will never tolerate any compromise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And now, for the Ra'il Bayt, there is a certain attribute he or she got to God. Yeah. Number one, they have in their behavior to be the role model for everybody else in the household. And that will never take place till we come to the point of loving and respecting. I can obey you, but that doesn't mean I respect you. And I can respect you, but that does not mean I love you. But loving and respecting you, that means what? I would like to be like you. I really like to be like you. And even if I want to be me, and I like to be like you, but guess what? I like to do what I can to make you happy and make you proud of me. That is a role model. So every single person in his own household must be the role model. And inshallah, I will talk about those things by detail when we come down to the nature of the relationship and how to raise children, how to deal with your wife or to deal with your spouse, your parents, and whatever included in the household. You have to be the role model. Don't expect your child to respect the elders while you yourself don't. Don't come and tell him don't lie and you are a liar. Teach them by example. This is why they have the longest childhood period that it can anybody have, because they are learning, human being learning by examples, not by logic only or by experience only, by living by examples, by training. So the head of the household must be the role model to everybody in home. But who is the role model for the head of the household? The role model for the head of the household is what? Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You and I being trusted by trusted. We are trusted by what Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind. Our job is to make it life. The Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad, the true Sunnah, is not in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and Sunan ibn Dawood and al-Tirmidhi and. No. The true Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be in the street. We must know the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad from the behavior of the Muslim. And the behavior of the Muslim is supposed to do what? To stand out. Why he is or she is behaving like this? They are a Muslim. And why they are doing that? Because they are following Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how we introduce Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By making it alive. So the head of the household is a role model to everybody in home. And the role model for the head of the household is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كنتهانا لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. So now the first step, because I know that inshallah we're going to have to finish the khutbah, what I want to leave with you today, I want to leave you with a question, and you're going to have to answer it, because sooner or later you will answer it. If you postpone the answer, it's up to you, but you're going to answer it. What is your relationship with Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you know him? If you invite Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to your home, would you be feeling comfortable? Do you think he's going to step into the Muslim home? Sayyidina Muhammad, if he comes into your life and comes into your home, he's going to feel stranger? Or he gonna feel welcome? Or he gonna feel that he is in his home? So the first step to building the Muslim home is to qualify that home to invite Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come and visit. When you have a president of the United States, or a president, the Queen of England, or the presidents of whatever coming to your home, what you do? You repaint the home, you change the floor, you change the furniture, you make sure that the landscaping, nothing can be better than that. And I'm telling you right now and from here, let us give Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invitation to our home. Invite him to your home and prepare your home to qualify for his coming. And let when he comes inshallah to your home, let Sayyidina Muhammad be accepted and have every member in your home waiting for him and welcoming him to their life. That is the step number one in preparing our home, is our home qualify to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visit. When Sayyidina Muhammad say, I want to do a qiyam al-layl, how many will do? When Sayyidina Muhammad sit down and read the Quran, Sayyidina Muhammad inshallah when come the time to talk about his life and how he was the role model, he divided his day to three major segments. One for him and for others, one third for him and for others, one third for his household, for his family, looking after it, and one third for only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means when he stand up for that one third with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't know anybody and nobody know him. Nobody. When Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come to your home, when I be comfortable to do that, and I will see everybody doing that, or he will be doing worship and everybody else watching football. How it's going to be? How is your home going to receive Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let that be your assignment. And let that be the first step to build the Muslim home. We want to prepare our home, inshallah. if we cannot invite Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically, we can invite him definitely spiritually by ihya'in his sunnah, by reviving his sunnah in our home, and by doing what exactly he used to do in his home. So if he comes by the soul or whatever, inshallah, you're not going to be a stranger in it. My call today, invite Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to your life and invite him to your home and prepare both to receive him. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life and after. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we all know that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead, but we can be his companion and we can be his brethren by reviving his sunnah. And I hope inshaAllah every and each one of us, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be among those people. And we ask Allah to make us among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hereafter. Ibad Allah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون. Ibad Allah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح.